Who is the major inspiration in your life? Who is the major influence in your life? We are all a product of what it is that we allow into our lives to influence us and inspire us. And so I hope that, you know, last week we've talked about the inspiration of Jesus, you know, we're in the midst of all that, the influence of Him and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Last week we talked about the influence of good mothers in our lives, being Mother's Day. But today I want to look at something. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 53. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I ask this morning, God, that you will speak to our hearts and you will change our lives. That everyone in this place, God, will be inspired by you, will be moved by you, and that our lives will never be the same again. Holy Spirit, do your work now in us. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple things I want to bring out. Three main things I want to talk about today. It says, it came to pass, in verse 51, when the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, if you know the Strong's definition of the word that they actually use for Jerusalem, the meaning of that word is set ye double peace or double peace. We've talked about this before. Jesus was determined. It says he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now, I think it would be a good thing for all of us to steadfastly set our face to go to where the peace is, right? And thinking about that, we've talked about this also recently, the idea that Jesus knew where he was going, he knew what was going to take place, and yet he had peace. Knowing that when he got to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified for the sins of the world, and he had peace in that. How many of us in our lifetimes, we experience something that's just hard? Well, it's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. But how many of us, you know, we're facing something, we know it's coming, and we know it's going to be hard, and we're all a mess because of it. And we are not at peace while we're heading towards it. Matter of fact, Jesus usually needs to drag us to those places where we're not steadfastly set to go there. But know this, when you're being called into a direction, or you're being taken into a direction by God, or you, God's will is out in front of you, and you know there's something coming that you might not necessarily want to go through, set your heart to do what God's called you to do, and I'll guarantee you will find peace. Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5 says, "But take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." How many know that and have experience, if you choose to do this, you choose to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to hold fast to him, serve him with all your heart and all your soul. How many know that if you choose to do that, you're going to face some persecution? There's going to be some stuff that's going to come your way, not only in the physical realm, but especially in the spiritual realm. You're going to come across some really difficult battles in your life. You know, this is something, we love to preach the gospel, and we love to tell people, oh, it's going to be wonderful. You come to Jesus, and life is going to be wonderful. But we hesitate, and we don't always tell the truth about the idea that, you know what, you give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you're going to find yourself in some spiritual battles that are like, wow. Anybody have that experience after they get saved? There's a reason why a lot of people that shortly after they get saved, they turn and they run away from the gospel because, oh, there's spiritual attack. But here's the thing. Each of us needs to be steadfastly set to do what God has called us to do. And we need to listen to His voice prompting us and obey without detour or delay. God, what do you want me to do? Well, first of all, He wants us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants us to put our faith in Jesus' death on the cross for our sin. He wants us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, our mind, and spirit, and strength. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Anybody have difficulty with some of that? Oh. I'm hearing little bits here and there around the room. It is difficult sometimes to love God. It is difficult sometimes to love your neighbor, isn't it? It's difficult to love yourself sometimes. But you know what? Set your face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Set your face steadfastly to go where God has called you to go. Why? Because there will be peace there. How many times in our lives do we have no peace in our life because we are not in God's will? We're not where He wants us to be. And you know what? There are times when it's most difficult. It is just, for some, seemingly unbearable. But when you get there and you find yourself in Jerusalem, Jesus found Himself in Jerusalem being persecuted and ridiculed and mocked and tortured and crucified, and yet He was in a place of peace in His life. Why? Because He knew that there was something better. There was something greater ahead. Jesus knew that when He took upon Himself our sins, that He was purchasing our redemption. He knew that we were going to live because He was going to die. How many ever faced something that's like, you know what? That is going to kill me. That, I'm going to die. Have you ever been to that? I'm going to die. I can't take this. Well, if you know God's calling you to that place, go there. Because even in that place, you know what? There are some times when we need to die. Die to ourselves. When you get there and you go through with what God has for you, you will not die, but you will live. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 16. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe, or some translations say to do, these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe or to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. So number one, set steadfast your face, your heart, to go to Jerusalem, to go where God has called you to go and to do what God has called you to do. Verse 52 says in of Luke chapter 9, He sent messengers before His face, and as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for Him. Now, Jesus sent messengers before Him to prepare the people to receive Him. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and verse 20. We are given a call. You are given a call. Say, I am given a call. I am given a call. Jesus said to His disciples, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you're a believer in Jesus, you are His disciple. A disciple is somebody who's being trained, somebody who's being taught. As His disciples, He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And verse 20 in that passage says, and they went out and they preached everywhere. Take a step back. How many feel like you're going to die if you got to tell somebody about Jesus? Well, I can't do that. That's going to kill me. You would think that, right? Because it's, why is it so hard to tell somebody about Jesus? Especially a family member. Anybody ever try to lead a family member to the Lord, especially a parent? You ever try to speak to a parent about Jesus? Or a brother or a sister? Oh, we're called to do that. Or a neighbor. You ever just walk over to your neighbors and say, hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? I was given an opportunity the other day. I got a call from a friend. Has an uncle who is in hospice. Don't know how long he's going to live. He called me up. He said, well, hospice is going to send somebody, but I want you to come because I know you. Sure, I'll come. I set my face steadfastly to go there to do one thing. He wanted me to come pray for him, but I don't like to pray for people that don't know Jesus. What's the point, right? And so I had determined in my mind, the first thing I'm going to do when I get there is I'm going to share the gospel with him. I'm going to make sure he knows Jesus. And thank God he did. I didn't have to share it with him. The woman that he's with is the daughter of a Baptist preacher. He knows the gospel, trust me. But you know what? We need to do that every now and again. When we know that there's an appointment coming, and we know that we're going to be in the presence of somebody who may or may not know the gospel, we should set our heart and our mind and our face steadfastly to say, you know what? When I get there, the first thing I'm going to do is start a conversation about Jesus, because I need to know if they're going to heaven. I go out to the jail, and you know what I do at the jail? I've told you some of this. Before I begin anything, I'll ask the people in the room, do you have church history? What do you mean? Well, does it mean, did you ever go to church? Most will say yes, some will say no. And then the next question I ask them, do you understand biblical salvation? Because even if they have church history, they don't always know what the Bible says about salvation. And then when they say, yes, I do, I say, okay, explain it to me. I put them on the spot. I make them tell me. Huh? You ever do that to your friends? Hey, I want you to tell me what salvation is. If they can, awesome, you know they're saved. Or at least they know the gospel. They know how to get saved. And a lot of times I do that. After they tell me, some will actually have the right answers. Well, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins. You repent of your sins and follow Him and He'll save you. Oh, have you done that? Have you chose to follow Jesus? Just because you know what to do, did you choose to do that? Have you chosen to do that yet? But the first thing I do is I share the gospel with them. I make sure that everybody in the room knows what the gospel is before we go anywhere else. I can talk about the Bible all night long with a whole bunch of people, and if they don't know about salvation, what's the point? Well, that's a lot of really cool stuff. What's it mean? Well, the end of the bottom line is that we're all sinners. I carry around in my wallet these things. I thought I brought some with me. Oh, here's one. I print these off every now and again. Romans Road to Salvation. We're all sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. I ask people, do you understand that we're all sinners? Yes. Do you understand what the penalty of that sin is? You need to know. Because if you understand that the penalty of sin is your death, you might want to do something about that. But God demonstrated His love for us. Romans 5, 8. But God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that awesome? I didn't have to do anything for Him to die for me. He did it. He just did it. You ever do something for somebody that doesn't deserve it? Think about that for a moment. The relationships that you're in and the people that you struggle with, and it's like, you know what? They do not deserve my forgiveness. Forgive them anyway. That's what Jesus did. And we must put our faith and our trust in Jesus and surrender to Him as our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, resulting in salvation. You believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave. You believe that. It says there that believing in the heart results in your righteousness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Confessing with your mouth results in salvation. What's that mean? It means you should tell somebody. If you believe that in your heart, you need to be telling somebody. Jesus sent messengers out to let them know that He was coming. And you know what? In this day and age, we all, every person who calls on the name of the Lord, who is a believer, we are His messengers to tell the world still today, He's coming back again. And when He comes back again, He's going to take with Him the believers. First, those that have died and gone before us will rise up in the air and meet with Him in the air. And then we who are still alive and remain on the earth at that time will join them in the air. And it says that we will go off to be with Him forever. Anybody want to forever be with the Lord? Yeah, I do. But you know what? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And He said, they went and they preached everywhere. Now, who are they? They are His disciples, right? Who are the they? Who's the they today? Us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been sent. You are being sent by God today to let the world know that He's coming, to share the gospel. And then I have a prayer of faith on here, and of course, John 3:16, verse 17. And what I like to do is I like to take this out and share it with people that don't know the gospel. And then when I'm done, I give it to them. Here, just use this for a bookmark or put it on your refrigerator or whatever. Remind yourself. Share it with somebody else. Romans Road to Salvation. You can find it online anywhere. Print it off, whatever version or copy you want. But if you've never shared the gospel with somebody, take something like that and use it as a tool to help you to do what God has called you to do. It says He sent messengers before Him to prepare people to receive Him. That's you and me. Man, if there's anything that I could inspire this church to do, you know, I can, in this building, I can strap on my guitar and I can say, okay, stand with me, and everybody stands up. And we start singing some songs, and everybody starts singing some songs. But boy, if I could inspire every person that comes in here, you know what? Go tell somebody about Jesus. Standing here and singing songs is a wonderful thing. When we're worshiping the Lord, I love it. I tell you, we get right into it. You could tell by this morning's worship session. But our love for God better go way beyond that. And I'll tell you this, I'll challenge. If you don't love the Lord enough to share your faith with somebody else, how much do you really love Him? I think that's really the bottom line. I think the true test of your love for Jesus Christ is if you tell somebody about Him. I love sharing my testimony because in my testimony, I get to talk about my wife. I don't know where she went. She was right there, but she must have went downstairs with the kids. But I love talking about my wife. Why? Because I love her. And in my testimony, I get to share how it was her. I fell in love with her. And she led me to Jesus. And then she broke off our relationship until I accepted Jesus. I was like, wow. This girl loves this God more than she loves me. How can that be? And it wasn't until I accepted Christ, that then we were able to I shared my testimony at the jail the other night, and I love sharing that part. Yeah, you know, I fell in love with this girl, and I was going to church, and I was going to church because I wanted the girl, and the girl broke the relationship up because I didn't know Jesus, and it kind of opened my eyes that she loves this God that I don't even know. And so then I kept going to church to find out who this God was. Now, instead of going to church for the girl, I was going to church for the God of the girl. And when I found the God of the girl, I fell in love with him. And when I fell in love with Jesus, my life changed. I love sharing that story. And the other night, I forgot the last part, and one of the guys at the jail, we were getting ready to close in prayer, and the guy goes, wait a minute, what about the girl? Oh, yeah, I married her, and we've been married for over 32 years. It's awesome. Hallelujah. But we talk about the things we love, right? And so if you really love Jesus, you should be talking about Jesus. We can think about all the people, all your closest friends. What do they love? You know what they love. If they love Buffalo Bills, they talk about the Buffalo Bills, right? If they love their car, they talk about their car. I got a new gold, well, not a new gold wing. I got a gold wing. I love that thing. I talk about it. I got a picture of it. I can just look at it. No. It's not that bad, really. But you know what? My wife's ratting me out. Confession is good for the soul. You better not love anything more than you love Jesus. Otherwise, you've got an idolatry problem, an adultery problem. But here's the thing. I don't want anybody to know that I love my wife and that I love my motorcycle if they don't know that I love Jesus. That should be first. He sent messengers out. And those messengers are you and me. Now, the last thing I wanted to mention. In verse 53, here Jesus sends his messengers to Samaria. Jesus is coming, but he's on his way to Jerusalem. And it says that they didn't receive him. He was going a direction that they didn't like. If you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, they kind of didn't get along. And there's a whole backstory on that, and all this fighting and all this stuff. And so the Samaritans didn't like that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And really what that's saying is they weren't going to receive him because he was going in a direction that they didn't want to, they didn't like. Anybody ever find themselves in a situation where God wants to take you someplace where maybe you don't like? I personally, I've shared this part of my testimony too many times. I hesitated. I didn't necessarily receive him at first because he was going in a direction I didn't like. I knew, before I got saved, I knew that God wanted me to go to India. And I'm like, no, I ain't doing that. And just like these Samaritans, I wasn't receiving Jesus. You know why? Because he was going somewhere I didn't want to go. Back then, I was young. I was 18, 19 years old. And I was like, no, I'm not leaving this country. Thank you. Anybody ever been to a third world country? It's a different world out there, and I was afraid of it back then. I was not receiving that. Well, thank God that, I kind of forgot about that, and I fell in love with Jesus, and I got saved anyway, and guess what happened 10 years later? I went to India. And I had peace about it. But then my daughter had a problem. She wasn't receiving that God was taking me in a direction and she didn't want me to go. One of the funniest things I'll never forget, happened to be just before I go to India, I'm sitting on the couch and my daughter, she was, I don't know, six, 7 years old. And she's next to me. Oh, trust me, she's my wife is my concordance. But my daughter, we're watching this documentary. Oh, this is interesting. Here's a documentary on India. I'm going to go there in a few weeks. Maybe I'll watch this. So we start watching this documentary on India. I'm like, oh, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And then they started talking about how many people in India get eaten by tigers each year. And my daughter looked at me and she said, where did you say you're going? I'm going there, honey, to India. Oh, no, you're not, she goes. She was not receiving that.